thanks to Laura and Jessica for inviting me to do this. I'm really excited to be here with you tonight. And I just have to say, I was born, well, no, I wasn't. I was born in Iowa, but I was raised in Minnesota. And it's not all Prairie Home Companion. There are some desperate people in Minnesota. And I was raised by one of them. You know, do any of you have trouble with your mind? I have a lot of trouble with my mind. I have a lot of trouble with my mind. And I'm going to tell you a little story about different ways that I have tried to manage my mind. It started when I was 10. When I was 10, my father died. And my mother said, "Don't cry, be strong." And I thought, oh, okay. I'm going to need some help with that. And because I lived in Minnesota and we didn't talk about anything, I had learned that if I wanted information, I just had to kind of watch and guess what was going on. So I started watching what my mother was doing, and she started drinking, and I went, okay, that's what we're going to do. Okay. So I started drinking, and you know, it worked pretty good. It really worked pretty good. It worked pretty good until I was about 14, and then puberty hit. Well, that was a whole nother roller coaster ride. And I thought, wow, now what? And my girlfriend Cecilia came up to me and she said, "Hey, Diane, hey, let's try out for the school play." And I thought, I don't know. But I went, and it was Alice in Wonderland. And I got cast. And I was the Queen of Hearts. And I got to run around shrieking, "Off with her head! Off with her head!" And I liked that. And you know what? That worked pretty good. That worked pretty good because it was a real way to channel some of that dysregulated emotional energy. And then I went along and I discovered when I was in high school that a lot of kids in theater, well, they did drugs. And I thought, you know what? Let's try that. And you know, let me tell you what I found out. It's really important. If you grind up animal tranquilizers, and you take about a quarter teaspoon and you put it up your nose, heart and lungs working, everything else at still point. Great. It worked good. So that's what I did. That's what I did. I did, I drank, I did drugs, I did a lot of theater, and and I majored in theater in college. And I had a mime teacher, and he introduced me to this stuff called yoga. And I really liked it, but it was a little scary because it required me to be in my body and fully present. And that was a little iffy. So I kind of backed away a little from that. But I also had a friend who was trying not to drink. You know, we occasionally tried not to drink. And he got into this evangelical Buddhist chanting. And I kind of liked that. I liked the chanting because it was something to keep my mind on a track where it wouldn't run off on its own. So I did that for a while, but the community was kind of weird and they were a little cult-like, so I kind of moved back from that as well. About this time, I was moving to majority age. I was about 21, and my drug dealer got thrown in jail. Whoops. You know, and I thought, I don't think I want to do that, so I think I'll quit doing drugs. So I quit doing drugs, and my alcohol consumption increased exponentially. I also found that I couldn't do theater anymore. Pretty much all I could do was drink and go to work. And I had told myself, though, that this was okay because the rules were I was okay as long as I didn't wreck a car, I didn't lose a job, and I didn't get divorced. But these were kind of, what would we call them? Stupid rules. Because I didn't have a driver's license. I had altered my learner's permit when I was 16 to try and make it a usable document for an ID so I could buy booze. And I ruined it, and I was too ashamed and embarrassed to like acknowledge that to anyone, like as if there were an adult in my life. And so I just thought, well, I just won't get a driver's license. And I didn't until I was about 26. I didn't have the ability to be intimate with anyone, really, unless you call sex with a drug dealer intimate. And, well, but and he was in jail now anyway. So there was no marriage and no divorce going to happen. And I had an uncanny knack that when people were getting ready to fire me, I just walked away. I quit. So these were kind of odd rules I'd set up for myself. But, you know, it was okay. And I didn't, you know, I didn't lose jobs, I didn't wreck cars, and I didn't get divorced. I drank and I worked, and that was about it. And then on September 11th, 1986, I came to in Corpus Christi, Texas. And I realized I wasn't really sure where I'd been the last few days. And the last thing I remembered was driving down South Padre Island Drive and hallucinating that there were dogs jumping on the hood of my car. And it occurred to me that I had a choice. I could have a drink, or I could have a life. And I thought, you know, I think let's go with the life thing. I think that's a better choice. So I stopped drinking. And, you know, during that first year of not drinking, I started to feel better. I started to feel everything better. It was stunning. It was like being in a wind tunnel. Not only did I start feeling everything, but my mind woke up. It was really interesting. I would wake up in the morning, and my mind would be on the bedstead like a vulture. And it would go, oh, good, you're awake. I've been wanting to talk to you. And we'd be off for the day. It was stunning. It was sort of like being in a room with a wild dog circling. And I knew that I was going to have to do something with my mind. If I didn't, it was going to have its way with me. So I was going to have to find a way to work with my mind. So I remembered that yoga thing, and I started doing that yoga thing again. Now, I'm in South Texas, mind you. This is not a bastion of liberalism. I couldn't find a teacher, so I started doing it on my own, and I developed a nice practice. And I started doing some mantra meditation as well, too, because that kept my mind on track. 1990, I moved up here to work for WBJC. Yippee! And I was well enough at that point to be able to be a little bit intimate with people, so I actually got married. And I found a yoga teacher, and I started taking a ton of classes, and it was great. I really enjoyed it. I was doing well. And I was doing so well, as a matter of fact, I decided I'd go to teacher training, and I'd start teaching myself. I'd be a teacher. I've got dust in my eye. I'm not crying, honest. I've just got dust in my eye. So I went to this 14-day training program, and you know, I never went to treatment when I stopped drinking. I just stopped drinking and followed the suggestions of the people around me who didn't drink. So I went to this 14-day program, and let me tell you, it was profound. I had this huge spiritual awakening. And I came home, and I got off the plane, and I'm in the airport, and I walk up to my husband, and he looks at me. Everything internally got still. Everything I had wanted to do with the drugs and the alcohol and the theater had all happened at that training program. I got still. And I walked off the plane and looked at my husband, and he said, "Who are you, and what have you done with my wife?" And I thought, uh-oh, this is a bad sign. So time went along, and I got a job in Washington, D.C., working afternoon drive for WGMS. They hired me because a guy that had been working for them got a job in Boston, and he left. I worked there for a little while, and the next thing I know, they're firing me because that guy wants to come back from Boston. It was quite something. It was really quite stunning. And then the marriage ended, and all of a sudden, I'm, you know, two for three, with that list of things that would never happen, right? If only I'm okay. And next thing, I decide I'm going to start training teachers. I open a yoga studio, and I start teacher training programs, and I'm pushing myself a little too hard, and I'm exhausted. And I'm driving down Butcher's Hill, and I'm looking at the light, but like two lights down. And the next thing I know, I'm in the middle of an intersection with another car, stone cold sober, totaled my car, totaled another person's car. Stunning. So now I'm divorced, I've been fired from a job, and I've totaled my car. You know, you too can have this. But the point of the story is, earlier on I had no tools. I couldn't have handled any of that had I wanted to. But through the community that I hang out in and the yoga and meditation practice that I do, I am able to handle life on life's terms. And it is such a blessing to me when I'm working with people who are training to be teachers to watch them learn to come to that still point, to learn how to train their minds, if you will, so that they too can live life on life's terms. Thanks.